rolling.
Yes, well, sir. How long have you been rolling?
I have not. I just started.
Rattaloni's Hardware and Garden Store brings you Garage Logic Podcast number 1,288, April 16th, 2024. 88 degrees on this day in 1964 and 10 degrees on this day in 1875. The weather has turned a little north on us, and we probably won't be swimming this weekend or anytime soon, but you know the swimming season is damn near right around the corner. Get a hold of the people at Aquaside. They've been helping people maintain Great Lake shores and swimming ponds for more than 60 years with a complete line of lake and pond control products that take care of the weeds and the algae and all that junk you don't want in there. The products are easy to use. They're made right in White Bear Lake. They work quickly, and they're registered with the EPA and DNR, so they're safe. Don't let weeds overtake your lake or pond this summer. Call Aquaside today. They'll help you get the right product, and your place will look great all summer long. Call Aquaside at 1-800-328-9350 or go to aquaside.com, and Aquaside, of course, brings us the ice outs. Minnetonka went out on this day in 1906. 1960, and 2002. White Bear Lake did not go out on this day. It might have been 1620 or 1790, but we just don't go back that far. And I have a question that needs answering, because I think it's a good question, and it's from Chief KB on the north bank of the Crow Wing River. Why is there White Bear Lake, Gull Lake, Pelican Lake, Rainy Lake, Red Lake, just to name a few, but there's also Lake Minnetonka, Lake Carlos, Lake Winnebogoshish, Lake Vermilion. Why does lake precede a name and follow a name?
They're looking for a distinction.
I don't know the answer to that, sir. And why doesn't that work for streams, brooks, rivers, ponds, swamps, and what Kenny calls creeks? Also, if a lake refreezes with the blast of spring cold, could there be two ice outs on a lake for the year? My answer to that has already been issued. No. And speaking of refreezing, why do we say refrigerator instead of refrigerator? After all, we don't call it a refreezer. Refrigerate and freeze food, or refrigerate and refreeze it?
Call me now. Let's go.
Does he mention driving on a parkway and parking on a driveway?
He needs a hobby. He's thinking too much about it.
He has a hobby. He's the guy who travels the state and sent us the moose story.
Oh, so he's got a lot of time to think if he's traveling around.
He sent a paper that had the greatest name of any paper I've ever heard. The Middle River Honker.
What?
That's a great name, the Middle River Honker, from Middle River, Minnesota. That might be in Marshall County. I'm not sure. That's the sound for the honker. The honker.
Hey, speaking of sounders,
hail the flashlight king.
Oh, yeah. Good. And now, from the mayor's office above the boathouse on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic. With Chris Reavers manning Technology Corner, Kenny Olson from the Krabby Coffee Shop, John Height in the newsroom, and of course, the rookie. Here is your flashlight king, fireworks commissioner, and the keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Soucheray.
In a 2022 MinnPost article, when lake comes first, it's usually to emphasize a feature of the lake, like Lake Superior. Lake often comes second in the names of smaller, lesser-known features, but all of it can depend on local preference. So basically, it's whatever you want it to be.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I am done for the day.
These not very well-educated young people who are blocking freeways, supposedly on behalf of Palestine.
O'Hare,
and everywhere else in the country. If you're chanting death to America, why would you live here?
That's a great point.
Well, none of these kids have convictions. This is just what they're doing at the moment. But why live here? Can you imagine going to Iran and chanting death to Iran if you were an American?
You wouldn't last long.
You'd be toast pretty quick.
Or can you imagine going to Palestine and shouting death to Palestine? I don't think you'd last long.
Nope.
But these young, protected, spoiled people who are really poorly educated, they really don't know what's going on geopolitically. Why do you live here? Same with all of the people of the Muslim faith in the Detroit area who were shouting death to America over a Ramadan celebration. Mm-hmm. Well, then why are you here? If America's so bad, you have to shout death to America. Well, the answer, of course, is they enjoy the materialistic benefits of this country, and they have no desire to live elsewhere. But you shouldn't live here.
It's hypocritical.
You shouldn't live here. You should leave.
I know I'm kind of wary about bringing it up. I could dumb it down.
Yeah.
No hot rods. No sneaking out to the woods with the girlfriend after the football game.
They don't have that, do they?
No keg parties. No.
And speaking of which...
Their parents, Joe. The upbringing. These kids are dumb.
Speaking of which, I've heard from a number of emailers. Why haven't we heard from the Minneapolis City Council on Iran? Given the city's previous declarations, writes Jim Dudley, shouldn't this weekend's attack against Israel be a top city of Minneapolis agenda item? This garage logician asks sarcastically. Hmm. Yeah, where's the
let's go here.
Where's the showboating?
All of these strikes against Israel and the Jews, starting with the Hamas attack, was all justified. Now, this is what they say, all justified by what Israel has done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
This was all deserved and justified.
That's what they say. To me, it isn't, but I guess of course not. It isn't.
So. Right, yeah.
Now, I didn't think NPR would take action against the guy named Yuri Berliner, who wrote a very interesting and very civil piece about why he thinks NPR has lost the public's trust. I did not think NPR would discipline him, fire him, or what have you. They, in fact, have. They have suspended him without pay for 5 days.
Okay. And this will lead to his firing because he is not being silent on this.
You'll recall that this Yuri Berliner, who's a senior business editor for NPR, publicly argued a week ago in a piece that appeared on the Barry Weiss site, the Free Press, argued that his network had lost America's trust by approaching news stories with a rigidly progressive mindset or liberal mindset. So beginning last Friday, they suspended him without pay. And now the network is grappling in other ways with the fallout from his essay for the online news site, The Free Press. It angered many of his colleagues, led NPR leaders to announce monthly internal reviews of the network's coverage, and gave fresh ammunition to conservative and partisan Republican critics of NPR, including Donald Trump. Conservative activist Christopher Rufo is among those now targeting NPR's new chief executive, Catherine Maher, for messages she posted to social media years before joining the network. Among others, those posts include a 2020 tweet that called Trump racist and another that appeared to minimize rioting during social justice protests. Maher took the job at NPR last month. It seems like she's a perfect fit for NPR. Can I say something about Trump?
Let's go.
Here we go.
You know, I'm not a big fan, but let me tell you something.
Okay.
Let me tell you something.
Is it going to make
Trump and his activities with a hooker are the least of New York City's problems? The absolute least. It's a dreadful bleep hole of a city where it's dangerous to walk down the street or get on a subway, and we have this theatrical show trial between a hooker and Trump. That's the least of their problems. Okay.
Point of order, Your Honor. Permission to
oppose. I was done. Bench. I was going to move on, but...
not to, I mean, we're fact-based, right, on this show.
Yeah.
She's not a hooker. She's technically a porn star.
Oh, whatever.
They call them sex workers these days, Joe.
But that's the least of that city's problems.
But that he's not charged with having sex with a... That's not what the charges are. The charges have to do with the money that she was paid.
The hush money. There's a kind of a hush money.
And the fact that it came from campaign money that it wasn't supposed to.
But Joe's point is still...
My point still stands. It's the least of that city's problems.
And the fact that he did it so that the news wouldn't get out before the 2016 election.
Right.
That's what the charges are.
But John, all right, now you're forcing me to go down this road. But take Joel's point into context, though. If you, John Haidt, are a taxpayer in New York City, is this on the top 10 of things that you're concerned with right now?
It might be, only because, have you ever met anybody from New York City? They don't like Donald Trump. So they might be fine with it. I have no idea. I have no clue.
You didn't answer his question.
Okay.
The question is, does this rank among New York's most urgent problems?
I would expand that to say, does, Kenny's bored by this, does his presidency, et cetera, you know, does that matter in the context of the last 8 years? And it all started in 2016 with the whole spiel.
Spiel. So is that a yes or is that a no?
That's a no, I think, right? Isn't it?
Okay. For me, it would be the least of the problems. I'm aware of the impact it might have because of him having been a president. But I, in the current day, in the current temperature of New York City, I would have put this, I would have delayed this somehow. I would have gotten to this at some point.
He tried to delay it desperately.
Yeah, but I'm saying the city might have. This is the problem. There's no winning arguments like this.
Well, but okay, I found a thread a couple of days ago, and it basically sums up what you just said, Joe. I don't know this reporter's name. I've never heard of him before, but this is an amazing thread that he posted on social media.
What's his name?
Shai Davidi.
Never heard of him.
He's Jewish. He works for an outlet called Columbia Biz. Anyway, I've shared many disturbing videos over the past 6 months, but I've never seen anything like this. These were the sights today in New York City. Not in Rafah, not in Kabul, in New York City. This is domestic terrorism. Talking about the protesters waving the green and yellow flag from Hezbollah and the Hamas protesters and things like that. That's, sure, I think, more of what you're talking about, Such, right?
Mm-hmm. That and the illegal immigration, the violence, subway violence. It's just a bad scene in New York. I was willing to just say that and be done with it. Okay. But
since Kenny's dragging it out,
but the death to America stuff and the people wearing Kenny's the Hamas garb, that this isn't film that's across. This is in our own backyard right now.
And I want to know why you live here then.
Yeah, if you hate it here so much,
go away.
You know what it is with me. I don't want us five to fight about this, because all we're doing is mirroring or arguing or whatever, even discussing it, mirroring what the nonsense that's going on in the country right now, which is just exhausting to me.
I will only disagree with you to a certain extent, Kenny. I think we're one of the few shows that can have a civil discussion about this.
It makes me uncomfortable.
Got it.
Anxiety. It gives me anxiety.
Well, it gives me anxiety too, Kenny, but, you know, what are you going
to
do?
Well, this, I harken back to the days.
Life has anxiety, Kenny.
I harken back to the days where I just showed up and made quips.
Yeah. I'm kind of like, what's no for emotion,
no investment whatsoever.
I don't know who said it, but do you know what anxiety is? It's a conspiracy against yourself.
Yeah, it sure is.
Not bad.
It sure is.
That's what Kenny, it is.
Yeah.
Kenny, to try and echo what you said, I'd like to harken back to the days when I would sit out in the other room and just show up and do news once an hour.
Yeah, then you drop an atom bomb.
Crosstown's backed and stacked.
And I wouldn't have to, you know.
But on this particular thread, one interesting point, gentlemen, is the fact that a lot of this is being shouted very near the site of the World Trade Centers. That's, I guess, it's the symbolism that got me the most.
Uri Berliner, where I was when I allowed myself to sidetrack myself.
Like a dog that sees a cat.
Right. Uri Berliner is proving that the progressives are very accommodating so long as you believe in them. They can't take any criticism. He's got people saying, I feel betrayed. Well, go bleep yourself.
Right.
This guy gets to have his opinion. Oh, I feel hurt. We trusted each other. We had collegiality. No, you have a very one-sided outfit here, and this guy had the chutzpah to point it out. And now
did
he's...
You,
huh?
Did you see their official... Well, never mind. I won't talk. I'm shutting off my mic.
No, you're right. Their official response was yesterday, right, John? I think I read it yesterday.
Is this the disclosure part of the story? No, don't play that game, John. I don't have time for it. Is this the disclosure part of the story?
Well, then don't act like, you know, a child.
Okay? Is this the, I'm not. I'm talking about this story.
Well, as soon as I say something, you know.
What are you referring to?
Their official reason, which I thought was pretty ridiculous, why they suspended him.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I guess I haven't seen it.
Their official reason was apparently you can't do work for anybody else if you work for NPR. And since he wrote this piece for another company, that was their, quote, official reason.
So when I read that, John, I thought, now what if he had done the same thing with a different topic? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
If they didn't focus on
NPR. You
never
would have heard a peep.
Yeah. Yep. Well, that's speculation, but that's what I was thinking.
No, if he had done a piece on bird watching, you never would have heard a peep.
Yeah.
Never be suspended.
I just love the story because I'm a news geek. Could this happen at any other news outlet in the United States?
I bet it could happen at the New York Times.
Didn't Barry leave the New York Times?
Yeah.
How about across town? Would it happen here?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, what?
Oh, yeah, Chris. Yeah, what if somebody at the Star Tribune printed something like this in an opposing paper or Alpha News, say, or anywhere?
Well, you raise an interesting point, and the point would be he would not have been allowed to have this appear on an NPR site. They would have just dismissed it offhand. They would have said no.
Right.
So a Star Tribune columnist or reporter or business editor could write a critique of the newspaper, and it's very unlikely, it's more than unlikely, it would not appear in the Star Tribune. Now, if he went and peddled it to Alpha News, I don't know what the Star Tribune's reaction would be. I don't know.
Well, the problem is if the Star Tribune person attempted to come to the Pioneer Press, they wouldn't be able to find the building.
There is no building.
Right.
There is no building.
You're done.
What did Fox fire Tucker Carlson for? Was it officially?
Officially. It was different from what it was.
I can't find a story that says, but I'm just curious if they use the excuse that he didn't fit in because his ratings were good.
I can't remember what the reason was.
He wasn't at the end of his contract, was he?
No.
They just didn't re-up him.
Nope.
All right. I don't remember.
He claims it was, Tucker says it was because of the Dominion thing. Well, it cost him so much money, the 788.
Yeah, because there was a lawsuit, correct, Johnny?
Well, that's probably the reason. It probably did cost him a lot of money. That was the reason.
$788 million they had to pay Dominion.
But see, in theory, anything early Berliner, Uri Berliner says about NPR won't cost NPR any money.
Yep.
Ostensibly, they don't make money, wink, wink. They're fed George by Bush. The taxpayers.
Right.
Oddly enough, I have the Tucker story on NPR. Tucker Carlson ousted at Fox News following network's $787 million settlement.
Yeah, but I don't think they used that as a reason, though. That's not what Fox used as the reason.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what this that's what this story just, I guess, claimed. But
I think what Uri might end up doing is just looking for another gig.
There's a lot out there.
Because if he's any good at what he does, being a business editor, there's a crying need for business editors.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't have to stay there if he doesn't want to stay there. But if he, if his colleagues feel so put upon.
But based on his ousting, wouldn't it be a non-compete
situation?
He's
not ousted.
Well, I'm sorry, suspension. Would there be also a non-compete involved?
I don't know that. I don't know if I that could very well be. I don't know.
Did you read the NPR version of this story?
The NPR?
No, NPR.
Yeah, that's the one I have in front of me.
Yeah, the one I linked to you. Did you see the disclosure at the end?
Yeah. We this got story, to do this without telling our bosses.
This story was reported and written by NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik and edited by deputy business editor and managing editor under NPR's protocol for reporting on itself. No NPR corporate official or news executive reviewed this story before it was posted publicly. I love that disclaimer. Yeah.
I don't know what is that supposed to make me feel good about something? I don't know what that's supposed to do.
The guy that wrote the piece for NPR was actually a buddy and co-worker, sits right next to him, of Berliner.
Do you want to know something? Lots of GLers have been making their way to EcoFun in Forest Lake. Quite a few turned out for demo day last weekend. Mm-hmm. We had that beautiful weather. The test rides are still underway. It's a little tough today in the rain. But you can test drive the test pedal. The Yamaha, Bentelli, and Scootstar electric bikes. And the preseason sale for GLers are still in effect through April. Yamaha electric bikes are at dealer invoice pricing and come with a 5-year warranty. Yamaha is including a second battery for free on their newest models. Here's the deal. You want to get fitted, and Kalen Bloom will fit you for the bike. And they got that great training ground out there, that massive parking lot. You don't have to leave there with an incorrect fit. And the Forest Lake store is now the new home of Yamaha Wave Runners and Kawasaki jet skis. The showroom has a great selection in stock. They're ready to create memories for you on the lakes this summer. And they have those Kawasaki Mule off-road utility vehicles on sale for an extra $500 to $1,000 off now. Tell them you're a GLer. Mention GL and they'll honor these extra discounts until the end of April. And remember that it all comes with an industry-leading 3-year warranty. So that's on those Kawasaki Mules. It's a great, great recreational store. It's in Forest Lake, just west of 35 on 97, down in Burnsville on the County Road of Life the Service Road of Life near County Road 42. Great service, great apparel, great people. EcoFunMotorsports.com.
Not a Garage Logic town council member. Here's what you're missing.
What are you doing?
I'm eating an apple.
What are you doing, Joe?
Trying to get people concerned here.
Well, I tried getting your attention, the fact that we went 18 minutes long. Jesus.
What's wrong with that? It's a podcast. You can do whatever you want.
No.
Oh, yes.
Get her going here.
Oh, yeah.
See, we have these things called breaks in which deals with ad insertions.
I know.
I mean, I can get you in on all the meetings if you'd like.
No.
You're good?
No.
Okay.
Go behind the scenes of Garage Logic with unfiltered audio and video access, invites to exclusive events, an emailed newsletter from the mayor himself, and more by signing up at GarageLogic.com.
I'm just going to roll.
I wish you would.
You might just say I'm a dreamer.
Here's a man who spends hours in hardware stores sifting through the nuts and bolts of life. Joe Souchere.
It's a tax refund sale. It's going on right now at Maple Grove Lock and Safe. But it's a wide, wide variety of Liberty safes. You're going to get 10, 12, or 15% off a whole bunch of different units. Basically, a progressive sale. The more you spend, the more you save. You can save up to $700 with this in-store discount and matching mail-in rebate on selected safes. You can see all the deals at the brand new website, the newly relaunched website, MapleGroveLockAndSafe.com. Rich, the owner there at Maple Grove Lock and Safe, he's 40 years strong in the business now. That means he's easily the best option for all things lock and security related in the metro. And the tax refund, Liberty Safe rebate sale, it actually runs all month until April 29th for GLers. And remember, if you need a small safe to keep on the nightstand, desk drawer, or vehicle, Rich always, always offers GLers 15% off all small, quick combo and key vaults. Maple Grove Lock and Safe right there at 6901 East Fish Lake Road. And that fancy new website, once again, MapleGroveLockAndSafe.com.
We have a trucker in Ohio named Monty Wiederhold.
I don't know him.
I didn't expect that you would.
No, you sound like you knew him.
He joined Fox and Friends to react to the news that a court has allowed California to set zero emission standards and how that's going to impact the supply chain. California got the green light to set its own zero emission standards, and Monty Wiederhold said that will be catastrophic for the industry and the U.S. supply chain. There's nothing about this law that makes any sense, Wiederhold said. A federal appellate court last week upheld the decision by the Environmental Protection Agency to grant California a waiver allowing it to establish.
Uh-oh. You gonna cry? Oh, bless you.
Good Lord, bless you.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. You're excused.
A federal appellate court on Tuesday upheld the decision by an Environmental Protection Agency to grant California a waiver, allowing it to establish its own zero emission standards for tailpipes as well as electric vehicle requirements. Hmm. I don't know what those would be. The move, if enacted by other states, could potentially upend the trucking industry and trigger another supply chain disruption. Wow. So if this mandate comes in, if they go forward with this, we're going to be the supply chain crisis on steroids, Monty Wiederhold said. Wiederhold explained that 96% of the trucking industry is made up of small fleets like mom and pop, one or two truck operators. I have a four truck fleet myself, he said. Obviously, this thing is going to cost untold millions and billions of dollars that we have no way we're going to be able to pay for, he said. Aside from the cost, Wiederhold explained that the U.S. doesn't have the infrastructure to accommodate the electric vehicle demands. If these folks were watching this past winter when the people in Chicago with their Teslas that they couldn't get to chargers, they were frozen up, multiply that times 10, because right now we currently have nowhere to park our trucks along the highway, just, you know, rest areas and truck stops to even sleep. California, which is currently leading the charge on green efforts in the U.S., there's nothing green about these efforts. They will make no difference in what the temperature is supposed to be. California is pledged to cut fossil fuel demand by 86% by 2045 and ban the sale of new cars powered by gasoline engines starting in 2035. Absolute insanity.
Right. So why even make it up?
Monty Wiederhold said the push would significantly alter every American's way of life, every single one. We're going to be in some third world country type status to where you're going to the store or stand in line and the shelves are empty because of what's going to happen, he said. Is that part of the managed decline? Yes, Kenny.
Not to be the one to urinate on the deal here, but you don't honestly believe that this is going to happen, do you? I mean, let's
somebody
let's
will
think
have
about,
to step in and go. This can't zero emissions is
let's say nobody steps in, Matthew. Let's say now it's half we're halfway through 4 months into 2035, and nobody, no goods are getting anywhere because of this, right? Goods aren't coming off ships in California. They're not being transported to the rest of the country. Trucking companies, guys like Monty and his four trucks, they're shut down. His life is destroyed. And do you think that they'll actually allow that to happen?
Imagine a future.
No.
A freight truck.
No.
Do you, because they're going to not only destroy the trucking industry, they're going to destroy all of America.
Yep.
Do you think do you think they'll actually allow that to happen?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, for God's sakes, in San Francisco, you could sue a grocery store if it closes.
I think for once in my life, I am more optimistic than you guys. I don't think that this country will allow that to happen.
This country really being the mass of us, us people who have cars and we go to work and take kids to soccer games. Too many of us are not paying attention to what's happening. And you're going to wake up one day and be hit over the head.
Because you didn't imagine.
Because you didn't pay attention. If, in fact, there is a concerted effort, somehow loosely bound together by a variety of elected and unelected people, to destroy this country or to destroy its way of life, it would not surprise me that California would go through with this. If, in fact, California is acting in concert with those who wish to see American exceptionalism end, with those who wish to see patriarchy finally held accountable, that the founders were flawed, that this isn't fair, this country should not exist as it does. If that's all true, then of course they're going to ban trucks that emit, and they won't take into account that the electricity needed to provide the trucks with power is in itself contributing to environmental degradation. They don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care.
Here's something dark.
I don't think I can get any darker than that paragraph.
Oh, I can. I can.
Oh, boy.
Join me down here on the dark side.
Hello.
What's going to happen is there's going to be some catastrophe, whether it's brought on by China or terrorism or something, that's going to change the way all Americans live before any of that nonsense plays out in 2035. I think we have threats far more concerning that we're facing in the next 10 years, much bigger than what California is proposing.
You mean like drones that can go underwater and be completely undetected?
God, you saw that? Yes. That scared the hell out of me.
And yet we're led by people like Kerry, John Kerry, who has said, I wish Russia would have cleaner ammunition. I wish they would fight a cleaner war.
Meanwhile,
we have people who are crazy.
Meanwhile, there's protests like you started the program with around the country saying death to America. And Chinese men are streaming through the border by the thousands every month. We've got some serious threats that we need to worry about that have nothing to do with the climate.
I saw a boat run ashore in California on a video. And about 15 guys in their 20s got out of it and ran and disappeared into the neighborhoods.
They're probably running to fill out job applications.
Right. They've got to go to the bathroom.
Or ballots.
Yeah. Ballots.
Yeah. I'd like to live there and just collect all the votes.
What's it going to take?
Is that a good paying gig?
To collect the votes?
Yeah.
No, I could sell them.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What's it going to take, Joe, to get this? What kind of national catastrophe do we need to face in order to get everybody on the same page again?
The only things that occur to me would be so dire that you wouldn't want it to happen.
Right.
But this country's not going to get together for anything minor. This country would only get together if, you know what? I don't know what would bring this country together. I think if 9/11 happened tomorrow, you would not have the reaction you had 21 years ago.
Oh God, I think you'd have more death to America chanting.
Yeah. I don't think you'd have the reaction you had in the year 2001. I just don't. And the president who was accepted by all, if not loved by all, Bush standing on that pile of rubble. That would become something political tomorrow if that happened. That would be politicized, and there would be half the country ridiculing whoever the president was that stood atop the pile and the other half praising him. The country has really, really, really gone into a tailspin since 2001. And then it got a hyper boost in speed for the tailspin in 2020.
And because of that, have you guys read the article? I think, Joe, you have. The tax hikes that would take place under a second Biden term.
Well, I'm sure they'd be...
It's freaking punishing. Hold my beer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
I don't really want to get into taxes because it's very irritating.
I need to spend more time doomsday prepping is what I need to do.
I need to
stock in some chili.
Yeah, peaches in the jar.
Yeah. Some firewood. Whale oil for my lamps.
Joe, yeah. how many whale mason oil. Jars of peaches you got in the basement?
Zero.
Okay.
My theory on that is, what the hell difference does it make? If the world's going to go to hell, what are you going to do?
You're going to extend it just
you're
so
gonna
long.
Be, you're going to be happy to be walking among the charred ruins of the city because you're alive.
You got to get yourself somewhere out in the country where it doesn't matter to them. Like somewhere way up at Boundary Waters area, in the Boundary Waters.
But if it's nukes, you'd still die of the poisoning.
Plus, it's damn cold up there.
Yeah, I don't want to go there. Is there a Boundary Waters in, you know, New Mexico? Or?
I don't think so.
Let me just give you one, shall we? Much in the same vein as your trucker friend pointed out, the one that Rookie didn't know.
Yeah. That's Monty Wiederhauer.
Yeah, I don't know him.
Biden would increase the corporate income tax to 28%. Wow, that's a big number. That's because that's higher than communist China and France and the UK, who are each at 25% currently.
There is a force driving this destruction. There is a force, however loosely organized or tightly organized, there is a force. Biden clearly is taking his marching orders from this force. It's very disconcerting to those of us who get up every morning and want to believe that, you know, life's pretty good. Well, let's keep... And it is. We're plugging along. Everything's pretty good.
Can I give you another one?
Yeah. Well, wait a second, Chris. What do you suppose... Can you speculate on what the force is? Is it a global force? Or is it just a United States of America force? What is it?
Well, it's such a force that it would have to include entities from outside the United States. It's so powerful.
How powerful. That's what I was fishing for. Yeah.
It's so powerful.
How about this one? Talking about California?
Yes.
Biden's budget promises to increase the federal capital gains tax to 44.6%. That's the highest rate in 100 years. California businesses would pay the 44.6 federal capital gains tax plus a 14.4% state capital gains tax for a combined rate of nearly 60%. New York state businesses would pay a combined 53.5% on capital gains.
The point being what? To bring down the debt?
I'm sure.
I mean, I'm not the one who irresponsibly has driven the debt up.
Well, capital gains is on stuff you own.
No, I understand, but they want the money to pay down the debt they keep incurring.
But Joe, we've got to
no end to that.
No, we've got to also take care of our new friends that are here, the new Americans.
But they're not even American yet. They will be if they took a citizenship test.
We will have them all ready to go before November, so don't worry.
But look at how they do that. If you're successful, you're taking half your earnings, right?
I love you, John.
Then The ones that you get to keep and put away, capital gains, they're nailing you for that. Then when you die and it's over $6 million, they want to take half of that. That's three times.
That's 60,
three times and you're out.
60% in California. Imagine working. Imagine working your ass off for 70 years. And oh, by the way, we want all that.
Yeah. Nope.
And don't even think about handing that lake place of yours, you know, to your kids.
No.
I'm just addressing GLers in general, because the taxes are going to kill them. Place?
Wow. I do not. But I know a kid who does.
Yeah.
Why can't... You know what? And he's facing great questions about the future of that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when he wants to sell.
Well, no, it's... You know.
No, Matthew,
why,
your
opportunity. You got somebody in mind?
Yeah, I got a guy.
Yeah, Matthew, your opportunity was 20 years ago. Now just empty lots are approaching a mill.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, best of luck. One in the city just went for a mill, and it's not by any water.
It was very common 60 years ago for a blue collar guy who works his butt off to have a lake place.
You know,
it was
who
very
was?
Common.
It was electricians and dentists. They all had... It wasn't a McMansion. It was a place to escape for the weekend.
No, I'm saying it was not only electricians and...
No,
and
they're the only ones that could do it.
Dennis, you moron.
It was the only ones.
My point is that there was an existing, healthy middle class 60 years
the
ago.
The average gotcha. Joe is what you're saying.
The average Joe.
Yeah.
He's not an electrician.
It won't be this Friday, but when it occurs, our garage door opener is going to be celebrated heavily by Precision Garage Door of the Twin Cities in western Wisconsin. For all your garage door needs, including new doors, precisiondoormn.com.
The Earth is not your mother. The Joe Soucheray Show.
There is a giant rain cloud over almost all of Minnesota right now. So that means our lawns are getting the moisture they desperately need. If you want the best lawn on the block, you've got to go with the official lawn care company of Garage Logic at ProfessionalTurf.com. And all you have to do is water and mow and water and mow and mow and mow and mow and water and mow. You click on that link, though, and ProTurf, they're going to end up sending out an experienced service tech out. They'll assess your lawn and then customize a slow-release fertilizer and weed control program. Environmentally safe, guaranteed for superior results. But what it's going to give you is a lush, thick lawn that'll be the best on the block with no crabgrass, no dandelions, no broadleaf weeds. And it all starts with that simple click, ProfessionalTurf.com. Get that free in-person estimate. Exceptional lawn care, landscape, and irrigation services from Professional Turf. Check them out. Schedule that free estimate. ProfessionalTurf.com.
Here is John Haidt.
Thank you, Joe. This news update brought to you by North American Banking Company. Authorities say a man is hospitalized after he pulled a gun on law enforcement officers, and they shot back. That happened in Montrose. Happened about 1 o'clock yesterday outside the Dollar General store along Highway 12, according to the Wright County Sheriff's Office. Deputies went to the store to arrest a man on outstanding warrants, but as he came outside, he wouldn't comply and pulled out a gun. The department says the deputies deployed less lethal measures, but the man continued to resist arrest, leading a deputy to shoot the man. It wasn't immediately clear how seriously the man was hurt or what the warrants were for. However, the sheriff's office says the man was taken to a hospital. The Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension is investigating the shooting.
John, in your news today, do you have any news of the fellow who died in a garage in Chanhassen?
Oh, my God.
I do. I have it next story.
Oh, good. Then I have something to add when you're done.
Okay. Investigators have tied the fatal stabbing and shooting of a man in a Chanhassen complex of garages that houses vehicles to a man who took his own life in his downtown Minneapolis home. The body of 35-year-old Daniel Balto was found about 8 in the morning Saturday at his residence in the 600 block of South Washington Avenue. The Carver County Sheriff's Office said he died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. The Sheriff's Office says Eric Berger was stabbed and shot earlier in that garage. Berger's parents found him lying on the floor on Friday afternoon, called 911. He died at the scene. While the investigation remains active, the sheriff's office confirmed yesterday that Berger and Balto knew each other and there isn't any further danger to the public. A friend of Berger's, TJ Beadle, said Berger was a collector of vintage BMWs and a pillar in the community of car aficionados. Beadle said it was very rare that he would miss an event among the many car shows staged at the Auto Motorplex. If anyone had a weird project, he was someone people felt comfortable reaching out to. He wasn't a mechanic by trade, but that was his passion. Beadle knew Balto, too, and said he was also well-known in the car community. That's what makes all this more shocking. It's not something I would have expected out of Daniel.
I was just going to say that Autoplex right off Audubon Road, those are those very expensive garage condominiums.
That's our guy Bruno owns that.
And the
GLer.
And I've been there for an event, and there's no car in there less. Right. I mean, they're all expensive stuff. It's a fantasy world, right, if you're a car guy. Mm-hmm. It's just beautiful, beautiful stuff. And these condos are, you know, you can do whatever you want with them. They're your condos.
Man caves.
Yeah.
Or don't you ever use that word around us, Matthew.
Yeah, I don't like the word man cave.
Don't use that
Matt,
word.
Matt, you just don't use it.
How about manscaping?
Are these Park Place condominium storage?
No. This is right off Audubon Road in Chanhassen.
So
I think it's
different
called the
company.
Autoplex.
Yeah, it's distinct from when you did, and I think Paul Brand did those Park Place storage. Okay.
They're not storage places. They're,
no, but it's the same concept where you buy a garage condo, they're called.
Yes.
And they put lofts in them, and you can do anything you want.
You can outfit it for Sunday Vikings games or whatever.
The only thing you can't do normally is live in them, which is what I would want to do.
That I don't know, but
I've
done the tour, and all I saw were magnificent vehicles.
What's your theme? What would your theme be?
I just haven't thought that far ahead.
He'd hang up a British flag. We already know that.
Oh, yeah. A triumph for my triumph.
But see, that would be low rent in there. We're talking big time stuff.
These aren't leaking oil.
No.
Oh, okay. Maybe you can rent a one car garage over in the northeast side of Minneapolis.
Right. Man came up.
Put some plywood over the broken window. And
yeah.
John, forgive me if you mentioned it, but do we know the original dispute between the two? Was that disclosed at all?
There was some speculation online, or not online, but in the news stories, but I preferred not to get into that speculation. Okay. So, no, it's just, and they aren't saying much at this time. Maybe they'll say more later.
Well, and I don't mean this facetiously. I wonder if they were fighting over a car. The ownership of something very exotic. I don't know.
John would like to say more, but he's not going to at this point.
No. I don't really have much more to say. Oh. From the Star Tribune.
Maybe they were a couple. You know, who knows?
You mean like gardeners?
No, Matt. Why don't you just keep doing your airport stuff? Because you're obviously not paying attention to this show. By couple, I mean maybe they were an item and they had some falling out or something. I have no idea.
From the Star Tribune, Minnesota Republicans are calling on state Democrats to rescind the endorsement of Judd Hoff, a candidate for a state House seat. He's got a criminal record and has been accused of stalking and harassing the incumbent Republican legislator. Hoff was endorsed this month by local Democrats to run in a central Minnesota House district that's been represented by Representative Mary Franson from Alexandria since 2011. Republicans say Hoff has harassed and stalked Franson for years, digging through her trash, publishing her address and contact information, filming her at her private residence, and relentlessly sending rude and threatening messages, according to Representative Josh Heintzman, a Republican from Nisswa. State GOP party chair David Hahn said in a statement, the endorsement normalizes the threatening behavior toward Representative Mary Franson and should be rescinded. Hoff did not respond from the Star Tribune to a phone call. On his current campaign Facebook page, he says he's a full-time construction worker, married with children and grandchildren, and in his words, a bit of an activist and political agitator in his spare time. DFL party chair Ken Martin said in a statement, the state party strongly disavows that endorsement, and he's asked the local party unit to withdraw their endorsement immediately. Crosby police are investigating a case of animal cruelty after more than 100 cats were found in a home in poor living conditions. Last Thursday afternoon, the Crosby Police Department executed a search warrant at a home on reports of animal cruelty, neglect, hoarding, and unsafe living conditions. The Minnesota Federated Humane Society was there to help. Police say a total of 102 cats were found safely removed from the home. 94 of them moved into a St. Cloud shelter. Some were underweight. Some looked normal and healthy. The condition of each one is different, according to authorities. There were a number of them with upper respiratory infections. All of the cats had fleas. Staff also found microchips from previous owners in some of the cats. They said, "I think they're in really good hands right now. It's going to be great outcomes for all of them." At this point, the Humane Society has been fielding a flood of calls with interest to adopt since that incident happened. Why don't we take a short break here and talk to Mr. Mikulski.
Thank you, Mr. Height. Allowing me to tell you about Welter Heating is such a great thing to garage logicians who really don't really know how to repair their heating unit or their cooling unit. Obviously, that's, you might be an electrician, you might be a dentist, and you might have a cabin. Because those are the only people that have cabins. So, if your air conditioner at home, when you're away from your cabin, conks out, put it in the back of your mind to be in touch with WelterHeating.com. Ray and Welter and the family have been around for over 120 years. That's four generations of Welter family. Rick is over there right now. He's a huge garage logician, and he's allowing me to tell you about Welter Heating because they serve the entire metro area. They are garage logicians. They are certified techs. And a human being answers the phone during normal business hours, 612-825-6867. He's not giving away the house here, but if you go to the website, welterheating.com, and click on the blog icon, you just may have your question answered. If you hear a funny rattle, you better go to battle and heat up your shelter with Ray and online at welterheating.com. I amaze myself.
Stop it.
I'm just
Let's go here.
I'm just getting you ready. You know? Do what now?
This guy wears many hats, just not indoors.
I better make
Joe Soucheray
announcement.
After I tell you about North American Banking Company, you sure can. Locally owned and operated. That's my bank, North American Banking Company. Here's why that's an important deciding factor for you. That means loan decisions are made right here in the Twin Cities. They do not send these out of state. So this helps people, families, and business owners solve problems quickly. And in that case, expand their business with confidence. You know what? Sometimes you're in the market for some debt consolidation. Whatever the case might be, check out nabankco.com. That's their website to learn more. When North American Banking Company first opened back in 1998, they made a promise to deliver a better banking experience for their customers, where you know your banker and they know you. And while a lot has changed since then, this commitment to being a true community bank in the Twin Cities, that has not. They offer the same online and mobile banking options as the other big banks, but with the unparalleled service of a community bank and six locations to serve you in Roseville, 50th and France, Hastings, Woodbury, Shoreview, and their new location in Maple Grove. North American Banking Company member FDIC is an equal housing lender, Governor.
Jesse Ventura's son tells us that Jesse cannot join us tomorrow in person. We could do it by phone, but I don't want to. I think it's important if we're going to have Jesse to have him in person, so we're rescheduling.
I would agree.
Yeah, thank you.
That's very smart, you know. I can drive my Tesla through the puddle.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Is there a distributor on there?
There's no distributor, Ken.
Why not?
Sir.
Why don't you tell me why?
Because don't you don't need to fire any cylinders.
I don't fire cylinders. I drive an electric car.
Right.
You know? I thought you knew that.
John Height.
Thank you, Joe. In other news, more potential jurors dismissed this morning from Donald Trump's hush money case as lawyers worked for a second today to try to find a panel of New Yorkers. The first day of the trial in Manhattan ended with no one yet chosen to be on the panel of 12 jurors and six alternates. In short order this morning, several others excused after saying they could not be impartial one way or the other or because they had other commitments. There are still dozens of potential jurors who are yet to be questioned.
But how are they going to find a jury of people that have no opinion on this matter?
Right. They're walking out left and right.
Yeah.
Okay, wait now. Play the game. My wife said, "Do you think you could be fair and impartial?" And I first said no. And then I thought, well, yes, I can. I can. If you have those facts in front of me, did he pay somebody off and use the funds improperly?
The deal. Facts don't matter. Jury doesn't matter.
he's already convicted. The trial is just a formality.
But facts would matter
that
to
is
me.
That's where we're at in justice in this country.
But you happen to be an upstanding citizen.
Could you be impartial? I know you dislike the man as a but if you had facts in front of you,
sure.
It's your duty as a citizen to say...
I've been on three juries.
What are these facts?
Matthew, I promise you, if chosen for a jury, I will say virtually anything to get off of that jury.
Because you're not a very good patriot.
No, Kenny, you're damn right.
I really hate them Italians. Them ain't the ones that used to come over here. Yeah. I kick you right off.
No, I'm not saying anything about Italians.
Okay.
I'll pick on the Irish, though.
Got it. You know the Irish.
I was a jury foreman. How about that, huh?
Boy,
that
scary?
Did you get an extra per diem?
It was a drunk driving case. We convicted him. So.
Oh, yeah. You had predetermined that you were going to convict him.
How long did it last, John?
It took 2 days, actually.
All right. So that's not bad.
I was in court in Mandan, North Dakota, County.
Did they put you in the Motel 6 for the overnight?
No, I got to go home.
Oh.
U.S. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas returned to the bench today, a day after he missed arguments in two cases with no explanation offered by the court. Chief Justice John Roberts yesterday noted the 75-year-old justice would not appear on the bench but gave no reasons for the absence. He said Thomas would participate fully in the cases yesterday by using the written legal briefs and the transcripts of the arguments. A court spokesperson did not provide any additional information on the absence. Rising inflation in March didn't deter consumers who continued shopping at a more rapid pace than anticipating, according to the Commerce Department. Retail sales increased 0.7% for the month, considerably faster than the Dow Jones consensus forecast of 0.3% for the month. Excluding auto-related receipts, retail sales jumped 1.1%, well ahead of the estimate of 0.5% in advance. The rise in gas prices helped push the headline retail sales number higher, with sales up 2.1% for the month. The biggest growth area for the month was online sales, up almost 3%, while miscellaneous retailers saw an increase of 21%. Update on a story we mentioned yesterday, didn't have a lot of details on. Australian police have declared Monday's stabbing at a Sydney church in Australia a religiously motivated terrorist act. 16-year-old boy was arrested after a bishop, a priest, and churchgoers were attacked during Mass at the Assyrian Christ the Good Shepherd Church. At least four people suffered non-life-threatening injuries, according to police. The attacker was also hurt. The incident captured on a church live stream quickly triggered unrest in the suburb of Wakeley. While officials said the attack was religiously motivated, they wouldn't say what religion the attacker belonged to. Some witnesses, though, did say they thought the attacker was speaking Arabic during the attack.
Did you guys happen to see the short video of this psychopath being pinned to the ground after
the
attack?
Yes, I did.
The grin on his face is frightening.
It's devilish, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was, oh boy.
The United States Supreme Court yesterday dealt a blow to Mike Lindell, the CEO of MyPillow. The court
is he still making pillows?
I don't think
so. Well, not as many as he used to.
I think he has some financial trouble.
The court declined to hear an appeal from Lindell, who has sought to block investigators from seizing his phone in a case surrounding alleged efforts to tamper with voting machines in Colorado around the time of the 2020 presidential election. Lindell has claimed the seizure of his phone constituted a violation of his constitutional rights. That claim has already been previously rejected by the U.S. Court of Appeals Judge Ralph Erickson, and now the Supreme Court says they will not hear it. Lindell has been a staunch supporter of Donald Trump's unproven claims that widespread voter fraud was to blame for his loss in the 2020 election. Lindell said he spent $40 million of his own money on failed legal efforts to overturn the election results, leaving him with financial woes as some retailers have stopped carrying his pillow brand.
What a moron.
Well, we said
he's got to be kicking himself.
We said this at the time. He's committing career suicide.
Remember when they got him? They got him at an Arby's drive-thru lane in Mankato. The FBI came in and took his phone. Remember that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do remember that.
Mike had it going, man. What a company. What a shame that he blew that. Oh, geez.
One woman who visited Disney California Adventure back in April 2022 is now suing the resort, alleging she suffered from severe injuries after a cast member dressed as Goofy fell on her, according to a new lawsuit.
A hell of a way to go, isn't it?
I'm goofy.
Katrina Griffin visited the DCA on April 3rd, 2022 with her daughter. Apparently, she bent over to tie her daughter's shoelaces. When that happened, a Disney cast member dressed as Goofy walked directly into her, and she fell onto what is said in the suit, hard cement. The cast member wearing the
I don't
the
think
Goofy.
There's any other kind.
You know what? I know what Goofy did. I know what Goofy did as soon as he fell over her. He got up and he went. Because that's all they can do.
The cast member wearing the Goofy costume allegedly fell into Griffin with all of his body weight, which resulted in severe, traumatic, debilitating, and permanent injuries that necessitated significant medical care as well as emotional pain and suffering, according to the lawsuit. Griffin is suing Disneyland Resort, the person in the Goofy costume, and the cast member who works as Goofy's handler. At Disney parks, cast members wearing full character costumes are accompanied by another cast member to make sure they interact safely with all guests. For characters who don't speak, like Goofy, as Brooke just showed us, during character interactions, the other cast members are responsible for speaking with guests, acting as a translator of sorts. KTLA in Los Angeles reached out to Disneyland Resort but didn't hear back in time for publication.
Now, none of them talk, right? Donald Duck doesn't talk, does he?
Well, they do talk, but not there on the, on the premises.
The gal in the castle or the gal with the midgets, she talks, right?
Snow White can speak.
We don't call them midgets. We call them small people.
That seems
happy
insulting.
Happy and goofy.
That's,
and,
that seems really goofy. Insulting to me.
Yeah. Which one are you?
Which one are you?
Right.
John, I don't know if you were
going to... sorry, yeah.
We have a tiny bit of breaking news, kind of in line with what Joe was talking about earlier in the program. You remember how you said that Trump's probably the least of New York City's problems?
In my mind right now, that would be the case.
This from the New York Post, and I was alerted to this from a listener. Thank you very much. New York's City Hall is being swarmed with thousands of African migrants over supposedly falsely promising them green cards. Some of this footage is, you can't even believe this is New York City.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I could.
But I mean,
this one video says over 1,300 migrants gathered outside. This is just one still shot, and there's 1,300 people
there's
swarming.
There's something going on, Chris.
Okay. Anyway, I thought that was worth bringing up.
Between allegations of sophisticated cheating, rampant paranoia, and geopolitical strife at the highest levels
I don't mean to interrupt.
Hang on, there's more.
Well, no, but my point is, you guys, this is exactly what Joe's talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to pull your head out of your ass.
Right.
Yep. This is only going to continue to get worse. And I got news for you people. If you don't think this is going to happen in the Twin Cities, you're out of your freaking mind.
Yep.
Sorry.
Good.
Noted.
Okay.
Feel better?
Noted.
Okay.
Noted.
Okay.
Now then, back to our story.
It only would have been better if, when you were done with your speech, if we would have got the email indicator.
Oh, God.
back to a story about chess.
Chess.
Oh, wow.
I wish I knew how to play chess.
I love
the
playing
chess.
The
past few years have been among the most tumultuous the game has ever known. So it was hardly a surprise that chess erupted into controversy again at the tournament to determine who would contend for the world championship. This time, the accusation that threatened to derail a major tournament came at a critical juncture and exploded. One of the players apparently was pacing around too loudly.
Oh,
we got to be quiet when you're playing chess.
That's
right.
Okay.
The charge was the one move that France's Alireza Ferozia, an Iranian-born prodigy, never saw coming. At a pivotal moment on this Sunday, the 20-year-old grandmaster stood up from the table during his game against Russia's Ian Nepomniachtchi.
Yep.
I'm going to call him Ian from here on out.
Right.
That's a common way for people to stretch their legs when they're playing and collect their thoughts when the games drag on for hours. To those in the playing hall in Toronto, where the candidates tournament will determine the next world championship contender, though it was no ordinary stroll. The tournament's chief arbiter, Aris Margetis, said players do it all the time. It's fine, but he had on very heavy footfall. It sounded like boots. It was stompish, if you will.
Okay.
So I was beginning to get a little concerned. Right around that time, Margetti's suspicions were confirmed. The volume of the walkabout on the creaky wooden floors was creating a disturbance. Grandmaster Nishat Abozov approached Margetis to complain. Margetis gingerly approached the refreshment area where Feruzja, a lot of bad names in here, was pacing and waited for the Grandmaster to notice him. That's when Margetis informed him of the complaint and whispered that perhaps Feruzja should walk in a larger radius. He also suggested that Feruzja consider putting on softer shoes.
John, were these Canadians vying to take on the world champion?
I believe this is all part of the world championship.
Do we have a current world champion?
I think this tournament's going on right now, right? Isn't it?
To determine the world champion?
Yeah, because this was Sunday.
Okay.
Right. So, this was in the Wall Street Journal.
Wall Street Journal today, yeah.
When I read this this morning, I started thinking about this movie I had recently seen called The Queen's Gambit. And I was thinking, I think I remember from that movie that whoever goes first in chess has a better chance of losing. So I went to the Google, Joe, and I Googled, in chess, who goes first?
Mm-hmm.
And it's white, and it says that. And at the bottom of the explanation, there's another link to the Indian Express, a newspaper, and the headline there is, explain, does opening with white in chess have anything to do with dot, dot, dot? So I clicked to that story,
White
Joe,
supremacy.
And I read, you're not far off. The full headline reads, does opening with white in chess have anything to do with racism?
White privilege.
Wow. Colonization.
So I go further into the Google, and there's a million threads about, is chess racist? Why does white always go first?
Why don't they just every other game? Why doesn't black go first?
I don't know. It's what? How old is chess? A million years?
A million years old. It's been around a while.
Yeah, it was. I think the cavemen invented chess. It's been around for a while. And white and black are arbitrary colors, and for some reason in chess, white always goes first.
The game of chess is in its modern form emerged from Spain in the 15th century.
Yeah, cavemen.
Our current champion.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you to find out.
Well, the Soviets were kicking butt until Bobby Fischer came in.
That's a long time ago, Matt.
I know, but the current champion, it's FIDE Reunified World Champions 2006 to present. Right now it's Ding Liren from China, who has been champion from 2023 to present.
Ding is the current champion.
Sometimes the guy from India was 2007 to 13. Magnus Carlsen from Norway, 2013 to 2023.
When's the last time we had an American champion? Was it Fischer?
It was Fischer. 72 to 75.
I love watching the speed chess matches, like in the parks in New York, where they just bang through a gang in 2 minutes.
When I play, I play about 10 games at once, and I just walk up and down the row.
Gabriel Thomas kicks my ass in about 3 moves every time we play.
Gabriel Thomas.
My kid.
So you actually, in theory, know how to play.
I do. That's
not as well, apparently, as Gabriel.
No, he took a class, and that's when he was supposed to be in that special meeting with the chess guy with the door locked and the light off. Mm. We had brought another boy with
what
us.
Now?
And she said,
What the hell are you talking about?
He was at a championship. They're at their championships, the end-of-the-year championships.
Yeah.
And we brought one of Gabe's friends.
Right.
And his mom said, keep him by your side at all times. And that's when I sent her a picture.
Is he disturbed?
No. She just, stay together.
Yeah.
And I texted her back and I said, the only time he was away is when he was in this locked, dark closet with the chess master, and he wouldn't come out. And I won't tell you what she replied.
That's not very funny, the woman.
That's not funny.
It was pretty funny.
No, that's mean.
It was pretty good.
Say right now with Precision Garage Door of the Twin Cities in Western Wisconsin, $100 off any single car garage door, $200 off any double car garage door, and they will come to you.
You're not
bringing the garage to them.
Don't bring the door to them.
Free on-site new door consultations and estimates so you can schedule a new door estimate with one of the garage door designers. They have models for every budget, and it's more than a door. it tightens up the property.
Gotcha.
It tightens up the drafts. It improves improves security. It keeps the heat in. A sturdy, insulated, well-maintained garage door can provide an added layer of protection and improved home security because you can integrate it with home security.
Integration.
Because these guys can do everything. Mm-hmm. The springs, the rollers, the openers, the apps, the new doors. You got it. They'll take care of it. Book online with Precision Door at 612-263-6985. That schedules your free online. No, that schedules your free on-site.
Right.
New garage door estimate. Mention GL New Door Special of $100 off a single car and $200 off any double door. PrecisionDoorMN.com.
I got to go back to work here.
Yeah, because you sure as hell ain't working here.
Oh, this is just...
Truth, justice, and the suzerain.
Yesterday we talked about that new rookie version of Scrabble.
Scrabble, yeah.
You know, yeah. And Willard Anger said the missus brought home a copy of Bleep That Word Scrabble. Mm. We got us a couple of adult beverages and tried to play on the hammock. She opened with two, and I put down P to make top. Then the hammock broke, spilled wine all over the game. We threw it away and went inside to play doctor. Boom, boom, boom.
Hey, now. All right. Whoa.
Willard Anger came up with
hello.
That. Hey, now.
Watch the draft.
What did, remind the audience what Patrick said when you asked if he'd ever been in the hammock with the missus when you told him the rookie story?
I don't remember.
You said you didn't have a hammock.
I don't have a hammock.
I don't have a hammock.
A lot of things sticking out of the hammock.
Yeah.
Netting.
Tattered ropes.
May I tell you that Renewal by Anderson brings you only because.
Yes.
Only because they come to us all the way from Apache Junction, Arizona, from the Traveling Linemen. It was on this day.
April 16th, Joe.
In 1901, while in Seattle on business, St. Paul rail tycoon James J. Hill learned that Edward H. Harriman in New York was buying up shares of the Northern Pacific Railroad, trying to wrest control of the company from Hill. Hill ordered all trains to give right away to his express train and headed east for New York.
Oh, that's fun.
Making the 1,800-mile trip from Seattle to St. Paul in 45 hours and 50 minutes, 21 hours under the average time. From there, Hill continued to New York and thwarted the deal. During the buying frenzy, Northern Pacific shares rose from under $100 to a peak of $1,000 on May 9th.
Huh. How did he thwart the sale? What did he do?
Shenanigans.
Yep.
Well, that's a good answer.
Hill always had something up his sleeve.
Tell me again, he was
a magician, amateur magician.
Okay, Matthew, thank you. Tell me again the travel time there. What was it?
45 hours and 50 minutes. Because he said, clear the way, I'm coming back east. And they cleared the tracks, and off he went. That was 21 hours under the normal time.
Thank you.
He saved a day. Mm. On this day,
416. Mm.
In 1917, the Minnesota Commission of Public Safety was formed by the legislature to protect life and property and to aid in the prosecution of war. Seeking to achieve 100% patriotism, the commission used its sweeping powers to harass non-English-speaking immigrants and members of the Nonpartisan League. Well, you wouldn't harass them today, would you?
No.
That'd be insensitive, wouldn't
right.
it? On this day,
April 16th,
in 1927, the Mesaba Railway Coach Company stopped providing streetcar service between the towns of Hibbing and Gilbert.
Hmm.
I just wanted you to know that. That was on this day. And finally, on this day,
April 16th,
in 1991, Marge Anderson became chief executive of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe, emphasizing the traditional government traditional government, education, and cultural preservation. Anderson became a leader in the successful 9-year battle to preserve the rights granted by an 1837 treaty to hunt and fish in and around Mille Lacs. And then it says, see March 24. So on March 24, there must have been another important day in history related to Marge. So that was this day in history.
Is that it?
That printed really poorly on that sheet.
You know, I don't know why you do that to yourself.
I don't either. You know why? Because I'm a crunchy conservative.
It makes you officious.
No.
You're feeling no. important, and you're not really accomplishing anything.
How about it makes me thrifty?
Oh, you're wasting ink and paper. Why don't you just read it off a computer screen like the rest of America?
Yeah, and don't turn off your email indicator so every time you get an email, it's on the show.
Esteemed town council members, we are heading back to Target Field Thursday, May 9th to play a little hooky.
We're going to a day game.
Join the crew and cabinet members as we take over Target Field when Minnesota takes on Seattle. Claim your tickets right now through the town council at garagelogic.com. First come, first serve. Not a town council member? Not a problem. Just join the council and then claim your tickets. Find all of that information. I believe we're almost 75% of those tickets being claimed, by the way.
Come on.
Find out more and do it all online at the website, garagelogic.com.